The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Daf Mem Het. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Victor Gindi, Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu, for continued Hatzlacha in all his endeavors, continued success, Bri'ut, health, happiness, and all good things. Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Adon Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Refuah Shelema Yosef ben Sarah, Rahamim ben Adel, Vesara bat Rachel. En Narefan Lahem, Betoch She'ar Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Mem Chet Amud Rishon, and we are six lines down. Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef learned in a braita, or taught, She'era, when it says in the Torah, She'era, that's talking about one of the obligations that a husband has towards his wife. In the previous Gemara, the Gemara explained different interpretations what She'era means. Either it means the obligation to give the wife mezonot, meaning food, or we learned that the word She'era is a reference to ona, meaning the obligation of conjugal rights, where the husband is obligated to be with the wife intimately. So it's machlok at exactly what She'era is coming to teach us. But now the Gemara gives a different derasha. Tani Rabbi Yosef She'era zu kiruv basar. When talk about She'era, this refers to that literally the flesh touching one another. She'lo yinhag ba minhag parsiyim. She'mishamishin mitotehen bilbushehen. That one should not act like the way of the Persians, that they have marital relations with their clothes on. So Torah is teaching us over She'era, that it has to be flesh touching flesh. Mesayah le'el Rav Huna. This is a proof of Rav Huna, the Amar Rav Huna ha'omer. If let's say the husband comes along and says, I do not want to have tashmish only with clothes on, which means I want to be wearing my clothes and she be wearing her clothes, yotzi. So then she has a right to ask for a divorce, venoten ketubah, and she gets her ketubah, which means it's a legal right that she has, that if the husband does not want to have tashmish without clothes on, to fulfill this mitzvah of kiruv basar, of she'era, of flesh touching flesh, so she has a right to ask for a divorce. It's a legal grounds, and she still gets her ketubah. Comes the Gemara, continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afilu Ani Shebi Yisrael. Now we learned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda held that the minimum funeral that a poor person in Israel usually gets is he has a minimum of two flutes. As we explained earlier, the flutes used to cause, inspire the people to cry from the sound of the flute, and they would have a wailer, that's a mekonen, that's a lady they would hire that would wail and cause people also to cry. In any event, the Gemara says that that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that's the minimum funeral that a husband must provide for his wife. So comes the Gemara and says, "Michlal de Tanakama Sabar Hani Lo." So it must be Tanakama argues on the Biyuda and says, "You don't even have to provide even this amount," which means this she'ur of two flutes and a wailer, that's shitat the Biyuda. But Tanakama argues, it's mashma Tanakama says you don't even have to give this. The Gemara says, "Hechi dameh." What's the case? E de urha. If that's the normal way, which means if her family, his wife meaning, if his wife's family is accustomed to have such a level of funeral, my tama de tanakama de amar lo. Why does the tanakama say you wouldn't have to provide that level? Ve'i de lo urha. If you tell me it's not the way of the family, which means, let's say the way of a family is less than that, my tama de Rabbi Yehuda. So why does Rabbi Yehuda say you have to make such a minimal funeral? So the Gemara says, lo tzedicha, the case is talking about, kegon de urhe dide, velav urha dida. Which means it's the way of the husband's family to get such a funeral, but it's not the way of his wife's family. So we're talking about a case over here where the guy, the husband, his family, the custom is what? They get these two flutes and they get the eulogizer. But he married a lady that in her family, they don't even do that. So therefore he wants to downgrade her. He wants to give a funeral based on her family, her family's level and not on his family. So the Gemara says, Tanakama Savar, Tanakama holds, Ki amrinan ole imo ve'ena yoredet imo hani mile mehayim, which means we have a law that says ole imo ve'ena yoredet imo, which means when a husband is married to a wife, whatever level he is accustomed to, if it's higher than her level, ole imo, he must treat his wife on the higher level, which is his level. And if, let's say, his level is lower than his wife, so eno yoredet imo, he cannot lower the level of his wife. He must treat his wife according to the level that she was accustomed to before she was married. So either way, the wife wins in this case, which means ole imo, she is elevated to his lifestyle, ve'ena yoredet imo, and she's not downgraded to his lifestyle, I mean, she stays by her original lifestyle. But the Tanakama says, Hani mile mehayim. This is only talking about when she's alive, that law applies. Avala harmita lo. But after she dies, no. And therefore Tanakama says that in the case of our Mishnah, her family wasn't even accustomed to having a funeral with two flutes and a mekonenet. And therefore Tanakama says, you don't even have to give her that. Which means you're able to give her the lower level. You don't have to elevate according to his level. Let's read Rashi. Look at Rashi. Dibura matchil hani mili mehayim. Kegon, Rashi gives an interesting case. Hu omer lehanik et bena. He comes along and says, why don't you nurse your child? That a baby. So he comes along and says, why don't you nurse? Vihi omeret shelo lehanik. She comes along and says, no, I want to get a wet nurse. I want you to pay for a wet nurse. V'derech benot mishpachta lanik b'nehem. And the way of her family is actually to actually nurse their children. V'lo derech mishpachto. But it's not the way of his family. So the law is, ole. She is elevated to his level. And he cannot tell her that we're just going to get you. You just nurse yourself. Since his family is accustomed to that, the law is that she is elevated to the level of the husband. So Tanakama says that that law, that she's elevated and not downgraded, that's only mehayim. That's only when she is alive. However, once already she's dead, then already the law does not apply. And therefore, he's not obligated to give her this status, of his status, let's say. Let me say it clearly, his status. He can give her low status, and therefore whatever her low status was, that's the type of funeral he's able to give her. Rabbi Yehuda savar afidu lahar mita. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even after mita, this law applies. And therefore, he's obligated to give his wife according to what his ability was. And therefore, he has to bring two flutes in order, and a eulogizer, which was the custom of his family. Which means the case obviously was that the custom of his family was to bring two flutes and a eulogizer. But according to Tanna Kamma, he says, listen, I don't even got to do that for her. Now after she's dead, I don't have to elevate her to that level even. I can bring less. Where the Yehuda says, no. Even at that level of death, still you have to treat her ole, which means whatever he would be accustomed to, she gets as well. So that's the machloket in the Mishnah. Is there elevation ole ve'ino yored? Does that apply to the case of when she dies? Everybody agrees it applies when they're alive. She always gets upgraded to the husband's level and not downgraded to her status. But the question is, by mitah, does it apply? So the Biuda says, even by mitah it applies. And therefore, she gets, according to what the husband's level would be, where Tanakama says, no, you don't have to give up mitah, and therefore you can give her the even less than what he's accustomed to. Comes the Gemara and continues, Amar of Chazda, Amar Mor Ukba, Halacha Kerabi Yehuda. Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. That what? That the minimum he must give her what he was accustomed to in his lifetime, and therefore, even after she is dead. The Amar of Chazda, Amar Mor Ukba, new case, Mishin Shtate. Let's say a person became a shote, whatever the case is, he became a shote, he lost his mind. Betin yordin lenechasav, so betin goes down to his assets. Vezanin umefanesin et eshto ubanav ubnotav vedavar acher. So betin now steps in and they go into the guy's assets and they support his wife and his children, his boys and his girls. And something else they pay for as well. We'll see what that davar ahir is. Why is the case of a person that becomes a shoteh? That Yitami Betin steps in to support the wife and the children. Why is it different than what we learned in the Braita? A person went overseas. The ishto tova'at mezonot, and his wife needs to be supported. The husband didn't leave any support when he went overseas. Betin yordin l'nechasa. So Betin goes down to his assets. Vezaninu mefersnesin et ishto. So they go and they support his wife, but they do not support the children and that other payment of davar acher. So the Gemara is asking a question. He's saying, what's the difference when a guy becomes a shote, you give him full support, meaning wife plus children, or when the guy went overseas, we're only giving support to his wife and not the children. Amar le. So Rav Asher tells Avina, Velo shani lach, didn't I tell you there's a difference between yotze leda'at, li yotze shelo leda'at? There's a difference when a guy leaves willingly and a guy doesn't leave willingly. Which means, when a guy became a shote, so then already you have to assume that he really wants to support his wife and his children. Now, even though it's not an obligation of a father to support his children, even when they're ketanim, once they become ketanim already, it's not his obligation to support them. So the chiddush is that when a guy becomes a shoteh, so the Beit Din will intervene and say, you know what, this guy probably, of course he has to support his wife, so that's not a question, but he probably also wants to support his children as well. So therefore, because he's a good guy, therefore we'll support the children. But when he leaves willingly, midat overseas, and we see he didn't leave any money for his children, that's a clear indication the guy knows what he's doing. He's really saying, I don't want to support my children. So therefore, Beit Din will not intervene to take mizonot to feed the children, but they will feed the wife because the wife is an obligation from the ketubah. He has to feed her. So therefore, that's the difference. When he goes out, midat, it's as if he's saying, I don't want to feed the children. Mashenken, when he goes, becomes a shoteh, so then Beit Din intervenes and says, maybe the guy would want to feed the children. You have no indication that he didn't. And therefore, they will feed the children. It is a difference. Look at Rashi. Velo shani lach, yotze min hamakom ledaat. When a person goes out willingly, which means he could have made a commandment to somebody to make sure to supply food for his wife and children. But he didn't do that. Gila dato, so it's a clear indication she enu rotze la zonan. He doesn't want to support them. Hilkach ishto de mitayev la betnai ketubah. Well, the wife that's mechuya from the ketubah ishtabud nechse. So then his assets have a lien on them to support her. However, banav obnotav lo ava nishtate. When a person becomes a shote diyotze min haolam shelo lidat, he just left the world because he became a shote. It's out of his control. We can assume that he wants to support his children. That's why the cases are different. Now the Gemara says, "My davar acher," which means one of the payments that we said when he becomes a shote, he gives his wife is davar acher, as opposed to when he goes away overseas, he does not have to give his wife davar acher. What is this davar acher? So Amar Efezda Amar. This is referring to perfume, which means that she says that this is besamim. It's like a certain type of powder that the ladies would use in order to make themselves smell good. Rav Yosef Amar Sedaka. Rav Yosef says this is the obligation of Sedaka. In the olden days, every family was taxed by the community a certain amount of money that they had to give to the community for tzedakah. So one rabbi says davar acher is besamim, and one rabbi says that this davar acher is actually tzedakah. So now the Gemara says, man de amar takshit. The opinion that says takshit, that you don't give her, which means, where Gemara is now going in the case where he left willingly. Where he left willingly, we said, the betin steps in and just feeds the wife, but does not use the assets for the children, nor for davar acher. So according to the opinion that says takshit, that the betin does not give her money for takshit, for perfume, kol sheken tzedakah. So all the more so, it's not going to step in and give the wife tzedakah, which means the husband will give his tzedakah obligation where he is. However, man da amar tzedakah, but according to the opinion that says it's tzedakah, meaning you don't give tzedakah obligation, because the tzedakah obligation he'll give somewhere else. Aval takshit yavinana. But the takshit he still wants to give her. De lo nihale de tinval, because he doesn't want it to become menuval, which means even though he didn't command to give besamim to her before he left, but still he doesn't want his wife to become repugnant. And therefore, the opinion that says it's tzedakah that's not given will say that besamim is given. But the shita that says besamim is not given, so kol sheken tzedakah. Now that's one way of learning the Gemara. Rashi then offers yet another way of learning the Gemara, that this last piece that's talking about the davar acher is going back on the shote case. The shote case is where you give her the davar acher. So therefore, as she writes, that's where we're starting. The words the Ademur ukba kaime, the amar mishnishtate, yordin lechasav vezanin vedavar acher. That this Gemara is going on the statement of Murukba that says you do give her davar acher. The ipcha gersin, and the gersa is turned around, and you read it like this: man the amar tzedakah, the opinion that says you give her tzedakah, kol sheken takshit, or the most of takshit, uman the amar takshit, avat tzedakah lo. And the reason why you give her the takshit is because lo nihaled, because you do not want it to become a menuval. So there was two ways of learning this Gemara of the davar acher. Is this Gemara going back on the shote case, like the second shot in Nashi, or is it going back on the case of the fellow that went to Medina Tayyam? If you're learning it's going back on the shote case, so that she changes the girsa. Again, if you hold that you give tzedakah, kol sheken takshit, but if you're giving takshit, but tzedakah, no. Amar of Hayya bar Abin Amar Avuna. Mi shalak l'medina tayam. Okay, a guy went overseas. Umeta ishto. And what happened? His wife died. Betin yordin lenechasav. So betin goes down to his assets. Vekovrim ota lefi kevodo. So the burial is paid from the assets of the husband,
husband's overseas, but the Beit Din will intervene and go to his assets and make a funeral according to his level, according to his kavod. So the Gemara says, lefi kevodo velo lefi kevoda. So what do you mean? Not according to her level? So Rashi says, bitmiya, midi de orha velav orhe milo ba'ele mi'abadla, ha vadai ena yoredet imo. Which means the Gemara is questioning like this, that why does the Gemara say that you make the funeral on his level? It should be on the level of the wife if it's a higher level. Because everybody holds that if the lady is on a higher level, that she was accustomed to a higher level status, that even after death, the lady must receive her level. The only machloka we had after death was, does she elevate to the husband status? But if she's on a higher level than the husband and the things that she's accustomed to, everybody agrees, even after death, you must treat her on that level. So why does it say the funeral is on his level? Lefi kevodo, it should be according to everybody, lefi kevoda. So the Gemara says, Ema af lefi kevodo. So the Hadush of the Mishnah, the statement is, Vadai lefi kevoda. The Hadush is even lefi kevodo, which means even if she's accustomed to a lower level, still you must elevate it to the husband's level. Proving like which opinion? Hakamash ma'alan, ole imo ve'ena yoredet imo ve'afilu lahar mita. Following the opinion that says that she is elevated to the husband's level even after mita. And since he, even though her level, she wasn't there, her family's not accustomed to making funerals like that. But since the husband's side is accustomed, even though she's dead now, this is following the opinion that says, ole imo, she's elevated to the husband's status of way of doing things even after mita. That's why it says, lefi chevodo, meaning, but of course, if her status was higher, then certainly the funeral is done according to her level. Comes the Gemara and says, "Amar Rav Matnan ukeis haomer." A husband says, "Im meta, if my wife dies, lo tikberuha menichasav. I do not want my assets to be used for the funeral." So you listen to him, which means the guy says, listen, if his wife dies, now it's talking about where he's going to die first, right? Rashi says, "Ha'omer b'sha'at mitato." And the guy's saying this on his deathbed. He says, listen, when my wife dies, I don't want the assets, my assets that obviously are going to my children, to the inheritors, I don't want that money to be used for her funeral. So the deen is shum'in lo, you listen to him. And the logic is very simple why you listen to him. Because her children, that is the wife's children, when she dies, inherit her ketubah. And therefore the payment of kivurah comes from the ketubah. So therefore when he comes along and says, listen, I don't want the assets that my children are being yoresh to pay for the funeral, because that will come from the ketubah. As she says, im meta ishto shum'indo dekevan dehu met behaye'a, because he died. Now once he died, she gets ketubah. Talking about a case where he died first. Now she gets ketubah. Now once she dies, her ketubah money goes to her yorshim. And therefore the ketubah payment is, the kivurah is paid from the kivurah. So he has a right to say, listen, I don't want my my money to go to pay for the funeral. So that she says, vihi gova ketubata enu hayav lekovra, tetnan yorsha, yorsheha yorshe ketubata hayimim begurata, which means her inheritors that inherit the ketubah, they pay for it. So the Gemara says, maishena ki amad, why is he only believed? Why did he only listen to him when he said this statement? Because the reason why you listen to him is because his assets fall to the yetomim, to his children. And therefore there's no obligation for his children to pay for the funeral. The funeral payment comes from the ketubah money. Even if he didn't make such a statement, again, the money fell to the yetomim. And therefore there's never an obligation, whether he said it or not. His assets that fall to the children, there's never a chiyuv on those assets to pay for the kivurah. So what's the difference if he said it or he didn't say it? Automatically, that money that he has falls to the children. They don't have to pay for the kivurah for that. The kivurah money comes from the children that inherited the ketubah. It's coming from the ketubah payment. So comes the Gemara and says, what do you have to tell me this case away where Davka, they said it. The husband said it. Even if he didn't say it, never does his assets have to pay for the kivura. The kivura always comes from her inheritors that got the ketubah money after she died. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela ha'omer im met hu lo tikbiruhu menechasav. Talk about a guy that says like this, if I die, I don't want my assets to be used for my burial. In that case, we don't listen to him. Guy's a cheap guy. He comes along and says, listen, when I die, I don't want my money that the inheritors get to be used to pay for the funeral. You don't listen to him. Why? Lav kol himenu sheyashir et banav v'yapil atzmo al sibur. We don't believe him that he should make his children rich by keeping that money by them and now throwing himself on the community, that the community is going to have to pay for the funeral. If we cannot say that, he cannot come along and say, listen, or the children can't say, listen, my father's will was that he doesn't want us to pay for the funeral. You don't listen when it comes to that. You pay for the funeral. Because otherwise, each guy will say that, and then the community has to end up burdening this footing the bill. So the Gemara says, en shum im lo. Comes the Mishnah. Le'olam hi birshu ta'av. Now, a girl that gets, let's say, engaged. She's meorasa. She's engaged. So she's considered still under the jurisdiction of the father. Ad shetekanes lirshut habaal lenisuin. Up until she goes into the jurisdiction of the husband as nisuin, as married. Which means kol ot that she's in arusa, she's still in the jurisdiction of the father until he actually gives her over to the nisuin. Nafkamina, so that she gives us a nafkamina. Let's say she's a Bat Yisrael and she's engaged to a Kohen. So as long as she's still engaged, she's still considered in her father's house and she will not eat teruma. However, once already she's given over for nisuin, then already she's able to eat even from teruma. Now the Mishnah gives different examples of when already she is still in the jurisdiction of the father, and when is she in the jurisdiction of the husband. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, top line, Masar Ha'av, let's say the father gave his daughter over for nisuin, for marriage, Lishluhei Ha'baal. He gave her over to the messengers of the husband, which means the husband sent messengers to pick up the wife, and the father gave over the daughter to these messengers. That's considered giving her over for nisuin. She's already at that point in the jurisdiction of her husband. But let's say the husband escorted and went with the messengers of the husband, which means he gave her over, but he went with them. He sent his messengers to escort her with the messengers of the Baal. So she's still considered in the jurisdiction of the father. But let's say the father's messengers gave over the girl who's an arusa for nisuin to the messengers of the Baal, harehi birshut Baal. So she's considered already birshut Baal. She's in the jurisdiction of the husband. And now the Gemara analyzes. My le'olam. We learned in the Mishnah, it said le'olam hi birshut av, that the girl, she's always in the jurisdiction of her father until ad shetekanes l'reshut Baal. Until she enters the reshut of her husband, which means until there is a chupa and a nisuin. So the Mishnah's language was le'olam. She is always in the jurisdiction of the father. So the Gemara asks, "My le'olam? What is the terminology of le'olam coming to teach us? La'pukem Mishnah rishonah. It's coming to exclude what we learned in a previous Mishnah. Ditnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Higi azeman velo nisu. Let's say you have a fellow that got engaged. He got these arus. The girl's an arusa, and the law is that if she's a betula, the man has 12 months in order to consummate the irusin into nisuin. If he does not consummate it within 12 months, even if he's anus, even if it's beyond his circumstances, still the law is he must begin to support her. he must begin to give her mezonot. And if she is a Bat Yisrael and he is a Kohen, she may begin to eat teruma. That's if she's a Betula, she gets 12 months. And if she's a Almana, it's 30 days. So the first Mishnah said, Higi azeman velo nis'u ochlot mishelo ve'ochlot betruma. She starts eating from the husband and she can also eat teruma. So that's why the Mishnah comes along and says, no, we don't go like that Mishnah. Le'olam, always, which means even after 12 months, the law is going to be that until she actually gets married, meaning there's nisu'in, she cannot eat teruma. So that's what the Mishnah is coming to exclude. Comes the Gemara and continues. A quote from the Mishnah: Masad ha'av l'shluchei ha'ba'al. If, let's say, the father gave the girl over to the messengers of the husband, harehi b'rishut ha'ba'al. So once already the messengers of the husband get the girl from the father, she's already in the jurisdiction of the husband. Amar Rav, Rav said, misirata lakol. That when she's given over to the messengers, it's for all halachic purposes, meaning she's considered in the jurisdiction of the husband regarding the law of inheritance, meaning if she dies, the husband inherits. If she dies, the husband, even if he's a Kohen, is allowed to be metameh for her because it's considered the wife, and ma'aseh yadeha. Also, her work goes to the husband now. However, chutz mitruma. Rav says it's for everything but not for teruma. Even though she was given over to the chuppah, to the messengers, she's not in the jurisdiction of the husband for the eating of teruma. She's a Bat Yisrael. Now the reason that Rav holds she cannot eat teruma yet is because the old teruma cannot be eaten until the actual nisu'in is consummated, which means until she actually goes with the husband and they have chuppah and nisu'in. The reason is because he's concerned that maybe at the time of the chuppah, he's going to see something that he does not like about her. Maybe she has a blemish of some sort, and he's going to uproot the kiddushin retroactively and say the whole thing was under a false pretense, because he's going to see a certain, let's say, a physical flaw in her. So therefore, we do not allow her to eat teruma at this point, because we're concerned that maybe retroactively the marriage is going to be annulled, and therefore she was eating teruma unlawfully. So not until after the girl herself is married, meaning she was with the husband and there was actually a chuppah, can she eat teruma? So just by giving her over to the messengers of the husband does not allow her to eat teruma. That's the shita of Rav. Comes the Gemara gives a different opinion of Rav Aseh. Rav Aseh amar afle teruma. Rav Aseh says no. Once already she's given over to the messengers of the husband, she's even allowed to eat teruma. And what's Rav Aseh's logic? So Rav Aseh's logic is that the whole reason why in Arusa cannot eat teruma is because we're concerned that she might take some of this teruma and go back to her father's house and by mistake feed it to her brothers who are not Kohanim. But now already, once she was given over to chuppah, even to the messengers of the husband, we're not concerned because already she's in his jurisdiction, and therefore she's permitted even to eat teruma. So that's a mahloket Rav and Rav Aseh. When she was given over to the husband's messengers, can she eat teruma or not? So comes the Gemara and says, Etive Ravuna Rav Aseh. So Ravuna asks a question to Rav Aseh. That the Amri la Hiya Barav the Rav Aseh, and some say Hiya Barav asked on Rav Aseh. That which Rav Aseh said that what she can even eat teruma, but we have a statement Le'olam hi birshuta av ad tekanes lachupa. We have a statement that says she's always under the jurisdiction of the father until she's actually given over, and we understand that we learned earlier that this means Le'olam, meaning that she cannot eat teruma. So how could Rav Aseh say that once she's given over to the husband's messengers that she'd be able to eat the teruma? We learned that until she's given over to the chuppah, she cannot eat teruma. So Amar lehu Rav. So Rav answers for them. Lav amina lehu. So he tells Ravuna, or he tells his son Rav Hiya bar Rav. He says, didn't I tell you lo tizlu batar ipcha? which means do not bring into the Beit HaMidrash a Mishnah that can be answered, which means you're asking from a Mishnah. But there's another way to learn that Mishnah. So don't ask questions from Mishnayot that you're able to reverse them, which means you're able to give a simple answer and just learn it a little differently. Why? How could you learn this statement? I can answer to you, which means I can tell you that when you give it over, give her over to the messengers of the husband, that's considered kinisa lechupa, which is all the Mishnah said was that she's in the husband, the father's domain and jurisdiction until she's given over to chupa. So I can explain that that means that what is kinisa lechupa, even if she's given over to the messengers of the husband, and therefore there's no question on that basis, because he'll consider that that's considered misidah lechupa, and therefore indeed she can eat teruma. So therefore, don't ask a question from a Mishnah that you can interpret it in two ways. And therefore, since you can interpret the Mishnah when it says she's always in the jurisdiction of her father until she's given over to Hupa, I can explain it. And what is considered given over to Hupa, even if she's given over to the messengers of the husband. So therefore, there's no question on Abbasir. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says that when she's given over to the messengers of the husband, she's already in the jurisdiction of the husband regarding Yirusha. Which means, we know generally speaking, in Arusa, if she's engaged and she dies, so the husband is not Yoresha. However, the Hiddush over here is, once she's given over to the Hupa, she's given over to the messengers, so now already we can assume that the father is going to be Mohel, the Yerusha, to the husband, because already the Nisu'in, he gave her over. So therefore, because the Nisu'in already is taking place, even though he didn't actually make a chuppah yet, but he gave her over, so he's mohel the Yerusha. However, only for Yerusha, but not for Tiruma, and not for even annulling vows, which means still the father has rights or needs to annul the vows, if there's any vows, and also if she finds a lost object, that it'll also go to the father. Because this only, giving over to the chuppah, according to Shmuel, only affects the deen of Yerusha, but the other laws remain in the jurisdiction of the father. That's the opinion of Shmuel. So again, Shmuel Amar Yerushata, Rish Lakish Amar Lichtubata. Rish Lakish says that giving over to the messengers of the husband affects the law of Ketubah. So the Gemara says, Ketubata Mai. What's this law of Ketubah? Mai, what is it? The Imeta Yaritla. So if it means that if she dies, he inherits the ketubah, which means the monies that are in the ketubah that she brings in, if it means that when the Shlakish said it's enough coming out for ketubah, meaning that she inherits it, Hainu de Shmuel, that's what Shmuel said. Didn't Shmuel just say for inheritance? So what is the Shlakish saying any different? So Amar Avina Lomar ketubata me'aher mana. Now the Hiddush is that her ketubah to the next husband that she marries would only be 100, which means once she's given over to chupa, even to the messengers of the husband, she's considered married, meaning if her husband, now let's say she, this girl gets married to somebody else, so her ketubah is only going to be 100, which means she's considered an almana from nisu'in. Which means, normally, if let's say a girl is an almana from irusin, from engagement, so then the next marriage that she gets 200 in the ketubah. But if a girl's an almana from nisu'in, her ketubah is only 100 in the next marriage. So the hiddush over is, once she's given over to the husband's messengers, she's considered married, that the next ketubah, if her husband dies and she gets married to somebody else, will only be 100. She's considered married. The difference is almanah min nisu'in. The Bi Yohanan and the Bi Hanina, the Amit Tarvayu, the Bi Yohanan and the Hanina come along and both say, Mesirata nakol afla truma. That when she's given over to the husband's messengers, it's even the Gabeh truma, which means they concur to the opinion of Rav. So metive, so now the Gabeh has a question. Halacha avim shiluchay ha-ba'al. Like we learned in the Mishnah, let's say the father goes with the messengers of the husband, or the messengers of the father, they went with the messengers of the husband, which is they're going with the girl, but they're going together. He didn't give her over in totality, which means
He's escorting her. Or she'aita lahatzer baderech. Or let's say she had a courtyard on the road. V'nichnesa imo lalin. And they entered this courtyard. The husband, or the future husband that is, and this girl entered the courtyard to sleep. Afapish ketubata bebet ba'la. Even though the ketubah is in the husband's house, which means, even though, let's say, the father of the bride already designated some monies for the nidunya, for the dowry to give to the husband, it's already in his house. However, the deen is, doesn't matter. Meta, if she dies, aviha yursha, the father is the inheritor over here. Which means, in all these cases that we just discussed, it's not considered that they're married yet. Because since the husband did not make nisu'in yet, she was only given over to the messengers, and the husband and the father that is escorted them, or the father's messengers escorted them, so if it wasn't a full giving over, so therefore if she dies, even if the money's in the husband's house already, doesn't matter, the father inherits the ketubah, which means she's not considered given over. However, masara av l'shluchay ha'baal, if the father gave her over to the messengers of the Baal, or she masru shluchay av l'shluchay ha'baal, or the messengers of the father gave over to the messengers of the Baal, or she'aita lo hasel baderech. Let's say they were walking together and there was a courtyard on the road, his courtyard, that is the husband's courtyard, and they entered the courtyard for the sake of the su'in, even though the monies of the ketubah are still by her father's house, meta, if she dies at that point, ba'la yursha, her husband inherits, because they're considered married. It also clearly says that in these cases over here, it only is nafka mina legabe yirusha, but if regarding the law of teruma, in isha ochelet betruma ad shetikanes lechupa. So you see a clear statement that a lady cannot eat teruma until she actually enters chupa. So that's a question. Tiyufta dechulehu. This is a question on Rav. It's a question on the other rabbis as well that concurred with Rav. That was the opinion of Rabbi Yohanan and Rabbi Hanina. So it's a question to all these rabbis, because they say once already the father gives her over to the messengers of the husband, she can eat teruman. Here you see that what? That no, that until the husband actually makes chuppah with his wife, so there is no eating of teruma. The Gemara concludes and says, Tiyufta, indeed it is a question. Now the Gemara goes back on the braita we just quoted. Hagufakasha, we have a question, a contradictory statement in the braita, or implications are contradictory. Amart, you said it first, Nichnesa'i molalin, that if they entered, let's say, the hatser, her hatser, in order to sleep for the night, so you say it's not considered a chupa. Ta'ama dilalin, because their intention was just to sleep the night. Hastama, but if they had stam kavana, leshem nisuin, you could assume that what the stam kavana is for nisuin. The only reason why there's not nisuin over there, because that a clear kavana for lalund. Now, ema sefa, but we'll bring it a sefa, nichnesa imo, if let's say they entered his hased, leshem nisuin, for the sake of nisuin, so then they considered that's considered leshem nisuin. It's fine. Hastama, however, if it was just stam, not for the sake of nisuin, meaning lalin, then I'll say what? It's for sleeping purposes. So therefore, we have a stira in the implications of the braita. Again, let's review the statement of the braita, and then we'll see what the implications are contradictory. The first statement said, if they're under derech, and they stop off at her courtyard, lalin, in order to sleep. So it says, well, since they entered to sleep, that's not considered marriage. So we can make an assumption that what? Only because they entered with kavanah to sleep. But if they entered stam, so stam, you could assume that it's for the sake of nisu'in. But the sefer says, if they entered his courtyard for the sake of nisu'in, then their content is considered for the sake of nisu'in. Implying what? That stamma, that if they just entered stam, it's for the sake of sleeping and not for the sake of marriage. So the question is, what is the stam kavana? Is stam, when they enter to sleep, is it for the sake of marriage or is it for the sake of sleeping? So Amar Rav Asher, stameh, stameh ketani. That really the case of the braita was talking about where they entered stam. It wasn't where they had a kavana. And the law is like this, setam hasir dida, when you enter her courtyard, lalin. The stam kavana is you're assuming that it's not for the sake of nisuin, it's her courtyard, so therefore they're just going in to sleep the night.
Setam haser dideh, but the stam kavana in his haser l'nisuin. So it's going to be for the sake of nisuin. So that's the cases of the braita, which is both braita, the cases of braita we're talking about when they entered stam. So stam when it's in her haser is ladin, and stam when it's in his haser it is for the sake of nisuin. So therefore there is no contradiction in the. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen ve'Amen.